Project Sapien is a podcast meant to engage our brothers and sisters in the law enforcement and military communities in conversations we all know we need to have. All opinions you hear are our own and are protected by the First Amendment of the United States Constitution. They in no way reflect or are meant to reflect the opinion of any specific agency, officer, or service member. Some opinions may be controversial. Listener discretion is advised. Project Sapient, back at it. Hello, Jake.
Well, welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. Actually, I should be the one. I'm the one who's out of town. Welcome backing myself to welcoming myself back. I don't know how that works. Allow myself to introduce myself. The number one law enforcement military podcast is back with a huge thanks to our tens of thousands of listeners for all the positive feedback so far in season three. We are not done yet. We are still full send, and it would not be possible without our partners and supporters, starting with our good friends at AAA Police Supply. Our law enforcement listeners listening right now looking for a one-stop shop for your supplies and duty gear. You need to go and look no further. Head to AAA Police Supply. That's AAApoliceSupply.com and use the code HYBRID10 for 10% off every order you make. And that's not just a one-time code. That's every single time you hop on there, use that code HYBRID10 and get 10% off for your gear. We also want to thank our friends over at the Havoc Journal, the voice of the veteran community, focusing on current affairs and articles of interest to the public in general, but really the veteran community specifically, for independent news that gets to the facts on everything from geopolitics, science and tech, finance to contemporary affairs, art and entertainment. Head over to HavocJournal.com and also make sure and check out our partners there at the Profiles in Havoc podcast as well. Want to send a big thanks to the Second Mission Foundation for everything that they're doing, educating, elevating, and advocating for our service community, helping them find their second mission after government service. Head over to secondmissionfoundation.org for more information, as well as our good friends right down the road from you. I'm in at 22 Mohawks. They're combating veteran suicide by providing assistance to veterans needing help navigating the reentry into the civilian world when they return home from duty, with extremely unique ways of doing so. And to learn more about what you can do to support their mission, head over to 22mohawks.com. We also want to thank our good buddy Kyle Lamb and Viking Tactics, the best tactical gear anywhere, from battle belts to slings and everything in between. Kyle's company has the elite selection of the highest quality, battle-proven tactical gear, guaranteed to be ready when you need it every single time the job calls for it. Check them out at VikingTactics.com. And of course, we want to thank our friends at the Overwatch Project. We all know that suicide is often an impulsive decision, and with research showing the majority of survivors saying they thought about it for 10 minutes or less, firearms being the most lethal tool there is, the Overwatch Project is putting itself in the middle of that by putting some time and distance between our person in crisis and that tool by just fucking asking the question, do you have a plan for your firearms when you're in that dark place? Can we make one together? And will you be my buddy and help me with the same? Head over to overwatchproject.org for more information on how to form workable plans of action and how to just fucking ask. Iman, man, thanks for the patience. Let me get back into town. And it was a long week, but it was a very, very bucket filling week for sure on my end. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no worries, man. Yeah. Just let everyone know what did you do?
Well, I had an opportunity to head down to Fort Cavazos and spend an entire week with our best and brightest with the U.S. Army down there at the fort, working with Overwatch Project on a very fun event. I'm going to go through my Rolodex here in my head at all the things I can say. Essentially, it was a range day, an entire week of range days for the soldiers participating down there, where our really good friends from Sig Sauer came out with some awesome kit, awesome toys for everybody to run and gun some two-gun stages with, some really cool obstacle course stuff, a whole lot of fun on that side of it. And then as well, that was a jump-off point for our conversation and some of the training that we were doing with Overwatch Project and talking about suicide prevention. And we put together some pretty unique stuff. I'm going to kind of hold off on describing exactly what it was we did, honestly, because I'm still trying to get Casey's schedule freed up so we can get her on here and talk through it in detail. Mm-hmm. But what we delivered down there, you know, I it's funny, I actually get a little bit emotional about it. Johnny and I, Viva La Vargas was my partner in crime for the entire week, and the way in which we were delivering some of the material for it, we obviously hit the nail on the head because we had so many soldiers come up and not just thank us for, you know, what we were doing with our time and volunteering and everything, but really, really hitting home on the message in a way that they could understand, because it was fucking real. It wasn't some bullshit PowerPoint, you know, like we always say, check the box training. This is authentic, and it's pretty emotional at times. And it was overwhelmingly impressive seeing not just what support the U.S. Army is providing for the soldiers, but quite honestly, what Casey Woods has done with Overwatch Project, as well as Lauren McGovern, and how they are navigating this. Because it is we both know, we've talked about this a bunch. It is such a monumental challenge to try to bridge this gap, you know, between what's going on with our soldiers and, of course, on our side too, the first responders and our law enforcement, and this impulse of, you know, suicidal ideation. It's such a complex, you know, three-dimensional Rubik's cube, whatever, you know, adjective or visualization you want to put to it. It's so fucking hard. And what Casey's put together is unlike anything else. And it's really having a major impact. I mean, again, without being able to give up too much, and I also want to let her share that story, but it is making a difference. And I mean, it was a long week, you know, 4:30 to fucking 8 p.m., right? So it's like, ready, go every day. But I mean, I got home and I was exhausted, but the entire week, man, I was just energized the entire time. And just, it was seeing the feedback from so many faces and everything that they're doing. And huge, huge credit to 6 Hour for stepping up and saying, you know what, it's about fucking time somebody does something about this. And we're going to be on the front end, you know, leading edge of that charge. And I mean, they're the number one firearm manufacturer in the world, and taking a strong stance on this I'm so indebted to them. You know, everybody that was down there with SIG, it was just amazing. I mean, it really was. It was a really amazing life experience. And if it never happens again, because, you know, I got one shot to do it, I feel like I shot my shot, and it was more than worth it. And it was really great.
Nah, that's good, man. I definitely was jealous on a couple of the videos you sent me of SIG and all the toys that they brought down. And I'm like, God damn it. You know, of course, work with me. But, yeah. But you know, I'm glad at least one of us could represent down there for our portion. That really, I'm glad that what we put together really had a huge impact, which we won't give any of it up because,
yeah, you
know, for Casey and all that. But
it's for Casey.
Yeah. But, you know, it's awesome. It's always good, like, even when we train law enforcement, right? It's always pretty cool to see our scientific design kind of come to life, and how the feedback is always like, holy crap, you know, kind of like you got punched in the face, literally.
Well, and the great thing about it too is that, you know, it's not like we created this. You know, we're taking established academic literature and two decades plus of neurophysiological study,
yes,
and applying it, right? And now, not that we were necessarily the only ones setting the trend or breaking the mold, but to see other people start to realize how valuable that is in their training and apply it to that's the whole point, right?
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
You and I and you know, our third idiot, none of us give a shit about being the ones having the right answer. We just want the right fucking answer in the room. It doesn't matter to us who comes up with the right answer. It's just make it the right answer and let's move forward together. And that's the thing that is so awesome to see, is that other people are starting to really, really understand, you know, even like Dr. Freed, you know, last week talked about operator syndrome. It's like these conversations are starting to, you know, congeal into this big mass of change. And it's so awesome just be part of that wave. And I mean, you know, like I say it every week, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you, but in more ways than one, people don't necessarily understand that, but it actually was a good experience. It's the second time I've been down there, you know, with that group, and the faces change, you know, cause there's so many soldiers on the base, right? I mean, the faces change, but it's still the same people, if that makes sense. Right.
Yeah,
and that was kind of the jump off point for this week's episode. We're like, let's jump in and talk with, you know, the man himself, the author of this article, you.
Oh, okay.
you wrote that article, Sit with Warriors and the Conversation is Different. And I just thought it was the perfect kind of backer for me. And again, purely selfish, coming off of this last week and then what we've done so far this year down there, because it really is different when you're talking to soldiers. I mean, it just, there's no good way of saying it. You know, it's same with law enforcement. Like, it's just, if you sit with that person, it's just different. Right. So you know, if you're game for it, I'm happy to do story time with Uncle Jake here and read through your article for everybody that's listening, you know, on shift or, you know, maybe on a plane somewhere, and they can get kind of a sense. Obviously, they can all read your prolific writing over at havocjournal.com. But yeah, if you're cool with it, I'd love to just jump off and start reading here.
Yeah,
and,
man,
and
then, let's dive right in.
Okay, so I'm going to pause, you know, here and there just to ask you follow-up questions on some things. So you're kind of in the hot seat a little bit, but I promise I won't. I promise I won't put you on the spot except for at least three. Listen,
my wife's an attorney. I'm at the hot seat every single day of my life. I get cross-examined. I get abused, and I'm used to it. Go.
Yeah. So just to clarify, the safe word is pineapple. All right.
Got
All right. So article from you, sir, Havoc Journal, called Sit with Warriors and the Conversation is Different. I've recently come across this picture, Sit with Warriors and the Conversation Will Be Different. I thought about it for some time. I really liked it because it's so true. I recently went to a birthday party that my wife was invited to. It was all civilians, and I felt like I needed to act a certain way because the conversations I had were very surface and individualistic. It was just a different conversation altogether. I was asked a couple of questions about how I felt about certain issues, both internationally and nationally, that were going on. And I gave my perspective, and a few civilians asked me all sorts of questions because they found my comments informative. Why? Because they were backed with statistics, facts, and clear understanding. After that party, I went to get together with some fellow combat veterans and fellow SWAT police officers. I felt right at home. We laughed about the most diabolical crap we've ever seen in our lives and remind ourselves of the toll it takes on us. This get together is both therapeutic and needed at times. I thought about that phrase again, sit with warriors and the conversation will be different. I started to take a deep dive into it. So.
Yes.
You go to a party.
Yep.
You're off with people that, you know, I'm using air quotes here, friends of friends, right? The civilian side.
Yeah, the civilian side. Yep.
And you kind of get one perspective and a lot of questions.
Yep.
Some people would take that as you don't understand, you don't know, and then not engage.
Yeah.
You look at it the other way. You look at it as an educational opportunity.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because if here's the thing, where I went was as cookie cutter as you can get with the people that were there. You had, you know, a couple doctors and a couple entrepreneurs and business people, stuff like that. And just very, again, I'll call vanilla conversations, right? It wasn't really anything riveting. And I'm sitting there and I'm totally, totally out of my element, right? Like, I'm the only dude who's got, like, tattoos all over my body and all that. And I'm like, wow, I definitely am out of my element, but I also love it at the same time because I can go up to anybody and really talk to them. Right. And it took a little bit for people to, get a little liquid courage to engage with me in conversation because apparently, as my wife likes to say, you look like you're ready to murder people.
That's also true, but you are really nice initially.
Yes. I mean, yes. After you get past this whole angry look, or as I was called once, you look spectacularly pissed off. After you get past that look, yes, I'm actually a decent conversationalist. There you go. Used big word.
That's a big word.
It is. And it's interesting. Again, you know, they were talking about all kinds of stuff, and you know, when I back things with statistics, just like, you know, this whole thing with use of force in law enforcement, and I give them the whole kind of spiel regarding the realities of it, and, you know, cops daily make over 1 million contacts a day, and the amount of force, use of force is 0.0001%, you know, and, it, you know, when I back all these things up with statistics and facts and all that, it kind of causes people to, I guess, be more interested in other things like, oh, okay, so you know a lot about this. What about that? And then I throw in my two cents on that. And then all of a sudden it's like, wow, okay, you know about this. How about that? You know, so it's it was just really interesting to sit down with more, if I call them civilized people or normal people or whatever you want to call them.
We'll just say outside of our chosen box.
Yeah, more outside of our box. And then, like I said, later on that night, the flip side, went to a get-together with my SWAT brothers and you know, combat vets were all, you know, there. And you're talking the energy is just different.
Yeah.
Right. Different. You're like, it was almost like, okay, I was hanging out with prey. Now I'm hanging out with predators. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Like that's,
yeah, absolutely.
But it might sound weird to the civilian listeners, who don't really live in that world. You know, the way I look at it is when you're amongst these, when you're a part of this tribe, right? We talked about tribes during our last episode with Chris. And like I said, if no one has read that book, Tribe by Sebastian Unger, highly recommend it. Should be like a mandatory reading for everybody in the world. But it's that's your tribe, right? This is my tribe, combat vets, you know, SWAT cops, you know, more like high performing cops, right? We'll call them that, high performing cops, where I'm in that circle and we're all just, you know, laughing, joking and pulling fucking 2-year-old pranks on each other, but that's just the way we are, you know?
Right.
And versus the other side where I was with, you know, I'll air quote prey, I had to be kind of almost walking on eggshells, I felt.
Right.
Because
and that's 'cause there's with the, you know, with the second group, there's no preface required, right?
Yes.
You can walk into that room and kind of like seeing somebody in their dress uniform and seeing their combat ribbons and, you know, hey, this is my bibliography on my chest, right?
Yeah.
You walk in that room just with you and your face and your tats and everything else, but in a group of other, you know, law enforcement officers and military veterans, we can read it. I mean, body language, the first words that come out of your mouth, you know, after fuck, because that's usually the first one. But it's literally like, okay, preface is not needed. So no. You don't waste any time. And we just jump right into it. And it's, you know, I think that the biggest misconception is that, you know, civilians, for lack of a better term, we're just going to use that term today. Civilians think that, you know, veterans and those who are active duty and cops think that they're better than them. And that's not the case at all.
No,
it's not about that. It's just about, hey, we have different jobs, you know, and at some point in time, you know, you're going to be a former police officer, just like your former military, because everybody ages out, you know, and it's important, I think, to understand it. So I like, you know, kind of how you transition to the next section here. You know, describing what that tribe looks like, because for civilians that aren't wired that way, and we need people to be not wired that way, because if we were all wired that way, it'd be fuck. I mean, back to literally like feudal warfare. It'd
be, exactly.
You know, this whole the concept of civil war and then the application of it, I'm not excited about at all. I don't want to see that ever in this country or anywhere else, really, because that's not a good thing, but we need that balance. Right. And so that balance and that tribe that you're speaking of is, you know, you do a great job here in the next section, the true warrior. So in the true warrior, there's an air of strength and resilience that surrounds a warrior, an unspoken understanding that only those forged by fire can truly comprehend. These warriors, men and women, who have faced the unimaginable, possess a unique perspective on life that sets them apart from civilians. Warriors have seen the darkest side of humanity, yet they refuse to let it define them. Warriors throughout history have demonstrated a deep sense of commitment to protecting and serving their people, often guiding by a code of honor and a sense of duty. Their loyalty is rooted in their dedication to the well-being and safety of their community rather than any particular political or governing body. This loyalty can be seen in various forms, such as soldiers defending their homeland, law enforcement officers ensuring the safety of their fellow civilians and citizens, or firefighters risking their lives to save others. Warriors prioritize the greater good and are willing to put themselves in harm's way to fulfill their duty. Beneath their tough exterior lies a profound sense of honor. Warriors understand the importance of honor in a world that often seems devoid of it. They have witnessed the destructive consequences where lives are torn apart, families shattered, and communities left in tatters. They hold honor close to their hearts, cherishing it as a guiding principle in their lives. But what does honor truly mean to a true warrior? It is more than just a word. It is a way of life. It is the unwavering commitment to doing what is right, even when it is the most difficult path to take. It is the moral compass that guides their actions, reminding them of the responsibility they bear towards their fellow human beings. It is the recognition that true strength lies not in physical prowess, but in the integrity of one's character. Warriors are the way they are, not by chance, but by choice. They have chosen to stand up against injustice, protect the weak, and fight for what they believe in. They have willingly embraced a life of sacrifice, putting their own lives on the line for the greater good. Their path is not an easy one, but they walk it with unwavering determination and unwavering commitment. These warriors are the embodiment of resilience. They have faced adversity head on and emerged stronger than ever. They've experienced pain, loss, and heartache, yet they refuse to let it break them.
Instead, they transform their pain into purpose, channeling their experiences into a force for positive change. I think of myself, fellow combat veterans, firefighters, fighters, and law enforcement officers who lost friends in the line of duty. They honor the memories of the fallen by channeling that pain into a positive drive that causes them to excel in everything they do. They have the sense of focus and sheer will. I break before the next section here. Mm-hmm. That base level understanding of the mindset, again, not to separate saying that it is better than somebody who doesn't have that, just that it's different. And the civilians, again, we're using that term for this, the civilians that don't understand that mindset, the ones that ask you those questions at the party are the ones that I really think are our best hope, you know, down the line, because you said it perfectly. You know, there's no politics.
No.
There's no color of skin. There's no, you know, religious conflict, you know, sort of some ISIS fuckface that needs to get shot in the face, but mm-hmm. there's no ambiguity there. It is, there's right and there's wrong and there's just and there's unjust. And there are people that it's just the way you're wired, you know, and we joke, you know, with our firefighter brothers and sisters, you know, why did God create police officers so firefighters could have heroes? But it's the same wiring, right? They look at us and say, there's no way, I don't understand how you could handle, you know, somebody shooting at you, this, that, and the other. And we look at them like, how the fuck are you running into a burning building, you know, and wanting to like do all the things firefighters do? It's the same base DNA. We just are expressing it a little bit differently. And yeah. And that kind of, that understanding, if the civilians and those who've never served can at least understand that exists and then appreciate that exists, I think it would go a long ways into bridging these gaps in these conversations.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, when I was thinking about, you know, the true warrior, and I kind of dug deep, and, you know, I didn't write every single thing I thought on this article, because in the article, we tend to, on Havoc Journal, depending on what the subject, we try to keep it to maybe 2 to 3 minute read for the reader, because anything more than that, their ADD kicks in and they're going to scroll to the next screen, right? There's a reason why we don't write big, because that's just the world of today, right? isn't what it used to be when it comes to reading. So one thing that I kind of, something I'll share with you actually that I wrote today, and it kind of shows, I guess, a perspective about the true warrior. And it's something I saw, and then I thought about it, and I let it percolate in my head today, and then I wrote it down. And what it says is, romanticize your suffering, embrace the beautiful burn of a long run, the endless torture of a drop set, and the death stare of a blank page. Embrace loss, failure, and heartbreak. There are feelings so rare and real that you can only experience them through pain. Life is empty without them. Love is dull. Art is soulless. Goals are worthless. Your best work lies beyond your worst days. So you don't hide from the dark place. Live in it. Soak it in. Feel everything, because the hotter the fire, the brighter the burn. But at the same time, it's important to note that rationalizations do not make things better. Perseverance is essential in order to grow and improve. So, you know, I wrote this today, and, you know, part of it was, yes, I saw it. I forget exactly where I saw a similar phrase, but what kind of got me really thinking about it is, like, why do people like us, our tribe, enjoy suffering, right? Where we say embrace the suck,
because
right?
We can do it together.
Yeah, because we can do it together. We're a team. We're this, we're that. And that's the thing, is that I think most people just do not understand that level of I guess, connection that people in the arena have. Because in the end, that's what it is. Because, you know, Stephen Pressfield, who wrote Gates of Fire, the story of Battle of Thermopylae and the Spartans. One great thing I picked up in reading his book, I've read his book, that book, probably 400 times over the years, but because it's such a great book. But, you know, one thing that he wrote is, when a warrior fights not for himself but for his brothers, when his most passionately sought goal is neither glory nor his own life's preservation, but to send his to spend his substance for them, his comrades, not to abandon them, not to prove unworthy of them, then his heart truly has achieved contempt for death. And with that, he transcends himself and his actions to touch the sublime. So, you know, here's the thing. You know, we always talk, you know, in our circle, in our tribe, our biggest fear is failing our brothers to the left, to our right. That's it. That's our fear, right? I'd rather die protecting my brother than fail him one way or the other, right? And when I say my brother, not I don't mean blood brother. I mean the brothers that we've built through fire, because we're closer than blood brothers, so to speak, because of what we had to endure.
Very often, yes.
Yeah, because of what we've had to endure. And even other fellow combat vets that I've met throughout my life, I may not have served with them, but those emotions, those feelings, those trials that we went through together, I'll do air quotes, together, are the same. You know, I've got, you know, Marine friends, Navy friends, Air Force somewhat, but, you know, friends from all the services. We'll include Coast Guard too, because you know what, we'll give them a little layup. But I know plenty of people in these different arenas that when we share stories, we feel the stories, right? When we're sitting around the like, you know, when I was with my SWAT brothers, when we're sitting around the fire pit, right, drinking booze and doing whatever, eating snacks, and, you know, we shared, you know, and it's funny how we share these stories. You know, we have this dark, dark fucking humor. We all know we got this dark humor. And this dark humor, let's say I threw it to the civilian side where I was at, they'd be horrified. Absolutely horrified, because they would not get it. Where I can't tell them that, oh man, during the search warrant, you know, we went in and we had my buddy, he had to pretend to be like this motorcycle guy who went on, like, you know, backpage.com to get a prostitute, and we went to her house and we had a kel on him and the kel failed, so we had no idea what was going on, so we had to go in after him. And, you know, I go, you know, after we execute the search warrant, I look into this big purple bag and there's a 9-inch freaking purple dildo that I threw across the room because I was so disgusted by it. But, you know, I like saying stories like that to, like, normal, everyday civilians, they're like, what the fuck is wrong with you? You know, yeah. Or the pranks that we pull where we took said dildo and purposely put it in evidence because it was a Friday, and Monday morning, the evidence officer is going to have a nice surprise.
That's the first thing you're going to
see. Which he was not happy to see Monday morning. And we really did not have to take that, but we just did, just to, you know, fuck with our fellow officer. But again, though, those are the types of stories, you know, that bring, you know, that dark humor, because, yeah, we see some of the most diabolical shit, you know, that people do to each other. No one ever calls the police because they got a birthday, right?
No, they call firefighters for that.
Firefighters for that.
Hand out stickers.
Yeah, no one ever calls the police to, you know, I don't know, whatever. Nine times out of 10, we are called because on the other side, that caller is having the worst day of their lives. And we have to go and intervene, right? So we are dealing with society's faults every single day. And as a warrior, as a true warrior, you recognize that and you push through it, you embrace it, right? Because if you can't embrace it, we see it all the time, it's tough to embrace, because everybody, actually, there was a great analogy this chief actually gave me. I was at this training and he said, everybody's cup is different in terms of when it gets full. Some people, as big as a shot glass, that's it. You fill that up, they're done. That's it. They can't take anymore. Some guys have a pint. He said combat vets that he knows are like 2 gallons before they topple over. But, you know, I told him, well, here's the thing. It's because, you know, combat vets, we've seen so much, especially 20 years of GWAT. We've seen so much. Yeah, our 2 gallons are big, But unfortunately, when it spills over, we're like done.
Well, and the other missing link in that is that you're not coming to every situation with an empty cup.
Yes. Right.
I mean, I love analogies, obviously, and my buddy Paul has the perfect one. It's not the first 1 pound rock you put in your sack. It's the last one. It doesn't matter how big your cup is. It doesn't matter. Your max is your max, yep. Right? Yep. And every single call, unless you're pouring out some of that cup, which is really hard to do, you're just loading it more and it's going to tip. So you might, sir, have a 10 gallon cup
yep.
to my 5 gallon cup. But if I show up half full and you show up 90% full, you're going to have a big problem because yep. not only is it going to tip sooner, but it's going to be much more violent when it does. And the impact of that is much heavier. There's so much more water in it. Right.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that, you know, it's that unpacking and hey, not to say you got to empty the cup, cause that's not really possible. Right. You're just going to pour a little bit out, share the load, you know, yep. and that's where the community comes in. And that's yep. where the big piece of the shared experience comes in, is that, hey, we're not necessarily, losing this volume. We're just distributing it a little bit more because maybe somebody's got a little more room in their cup right now, and that might not be the worst thing.
Yep.
And you actually address that in the second, you know, the next section of your article here, talking about the Ronin. And I really like this section because it speaks to me, I think, a little bit more now. It'll probably speak to you when you're done, right? Because when you're done, it's really tough because you still have this sense of, you know, you're who you are, but nowhere to apply it. So this next section of your article, the Ronin, it is important to note that when warriors are discharged or retire, they may face a complex transition. In some cases, they may become what is known as Ronin. The term Ronin originated in feudal Japan and refers to masterless samurai warriors who were left without a lord or a cause to serve. When warriors become Ronin, they find themselves in a state of uncertainty and often struggle to adapt to a new way of life. They no longer have a defined purpose or a clear path to follow. This transition can be challenging, both emotionally and practically, as Ronin warriors navigate their new circumstances and search for a sense of belonging or purpose. When I was medically discharged by the Army, I was just that, an angry Ronin who had no purpose. The concept of Ronin serves as a reminder that warriors' loyalty lies not with a government or institution, but with the people they protect. It emphasizes their selflessness and their sacrifices they make in service to their communities. Understanding the journey of warriors, including the challenges they face when their service comes to an end, further highlights the unique nature of the commitment and the importance of acknowledging their contributions. Pause on the article. I really like that section I'm in because so many people get caught up in the fun stuff, the driving fast, all the cool shit, the cool guy stuff. Yep. And they forget that at some point in time you're done and it might be before you're ready. You know, I envy the people who can step away and say, I filled all the boxes. I checked all the boxes. I did all the things I wanted to do. I feel like I completed my mission. Mm-hmm. There's nothing worse than an incomplete mission. And if that is the core of your identity in your life, It is damn near impossible to find anything in the private, air quote again, civilian sector to fill that if you're wired like we are.
Yeah. And that's why, you know, part of me writing it is me coming to the realization at the same time that, yes, my time is limited in terms of on this job. Right. You know, like I always tell people, I've been kicking indoors since, you know, 19, 20 years old, you know, going to war and all that, and didn't get out till I was like 26, 27 when I was medically discharged. So to me, I was not done yet. Right. And that's where that whole angry Iman came in, because I felt no sense of purpose at that point. You know, my purpose was to go to war, you know, to be with my squad, to be, and not to say go to war as in like I'm war hungry. Hell yeah, let's go to war. You know, no, more like go to war with my fellow soldiers. Like
right.
That shared experience, like you said, that shared experience. Yes, I may have a 10 gallon and my fellow soldier might have a 1 gallon. But guess what? We get to offload on each other. Right. That yep. way I'm not only taking everything and he's not only taking everything. We're taking it together. And that's what really helped when I was overseas is, you know, me and my squad, they were called the Praetorians. I was a Spartan and the Praetorians together. You know, we shared, and still to this day share, right, the burdens of being at war and all that stuff, even to this day, you know. And when that time for me came to a close where I was, you know, forced out, I was pissed. You know, I was one very, very angry dude. And in the end, what I've come to realize is it's because I had no more purpose. So the Army does a fantastic job to tell you you don't matter anymore.
Exactly.
Law enforcement is the same way, though, right? Law enforcement, you know, any of these kind of, we'll call them service type industries where you're law enforcement, firefighter, whatever, maybe you get injured and you're out. Oh, well, you're out.
Yeah. You're going to fill you with the next heartbeat.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's kind of, it took me a long time to come to that realization, to come to that acceptance that no matter how Billy Badass I felt I was or how good I was, they just filled my seat. Yep. You know, our third head, right? He's getting out.
Yeah.
You know what's going to I know already, and he knows it, what's going to happen. Army's just going to leave him in the dust because he's no longer part of it. Exactly. See you later. You know?
Thank you for your service. Here's the door. And then at the same time that one's closing, the entrance is opening with the guy that's going to take your job.
Exactly.
And you know, in a way, you can't necessarily, I mean, it might almost sound, if somebody's listening to this, that we're kind of bad-mouthing that structure. I don't think there's another way to do it.
No,
because if the machine has to be perpetuous forever and always for us to defend the United States of America, how the fuck else do you do that unless you literally just replace every cog in the wheel when one goes down or goes bad or just gets worn out? There's just no other way to do it.
Exactly. I mean, that's just part of the culture, part of the thing, but we also understand that, right?
We do now, but we on do the now. Front end, when you were 18, 19, 20, it's like, motherfucker, let's rock and roll and go do cool shit. Everybody fucking needs me. And it's like, yes, they do, son.
Yeah.
Sign the dotted line for your extended enlistment,
you know, exactly,
right? And they sell that, and I mean, that's, again, not to bag on it because it's the system, but they sell that as part of the package.
Yep.
And they get those, you know, these impressionable young men, statistically women too, but men by volume, they're seeking that tribe because they're, you know, for whatever reasons, we all come from different backgrounds, we all have different reasons. Some it's, you know, they want vengeance on those who are oppressing others, and some it's just a sense of duty because they're family, whatever it is, but they use that, then they use it to their advantage, and they being the big, you know, big green machine, big blue machine, all the recruiters, they know that. The hard part is that for, I don't know, however many, you know, thousands of years we've been able to communicate across cultures and timelines, there hasn't been an ability to communicate that to the younger kids like there is now. And part of what we're doing with, you know, this podcast, and there's plenty of other podcasts that do the same thing. The oral history is now a digital oral history. And so when you sign that dotted line as a 17 or 18 year old, you've probably gone out and listened to a guy take the biggest star in the room, usually say like Jocko, mm-hmm. talk about that, mm-hmm. You know, or, you know, small time idiots like us. Mm-hmm. But the reality is that you've got a more educated person who's presumptively signing that dotted line, knowing that, hey, okay, they're going to get their pound of flesh, but you know, I'm going to make sure and get mine too, right? And so they're using that at much more effective rate, you know, cashing in on their GI and going to get their education. Having, if you want to be a pilot, they're enlisting so that the military is paying for what ends up costing almost $250,000 to learn to become a helicopter pilot, right? Yeah, so they're utilizing that to their advantage. And that's a good thing because it's a little more balance, right? Yeah. So if it's more balanced and less taking advantage of, I'm a big fan of it. You know, we'll see how it works out in the next 20 years. Cause we don't know, but the recruits coming in now and the doe eyed kids that I saw last week, they got a pretty good sense of what they signed up for. And they're still there because what's important to them is the machine. I mean, it is important. Don't get me wrong, but what's important to them is the guy or girl on their right, the guy or girl on their left. And that's how it all glues together.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. That's the thing. It goes back to purpose, right? My purpose at the time was to be there for my soldiers, right? As an NCO, right? As a sergeant, I was there for my soldiers. I was taking care of them. I'm doing this, I'm doing that. You know, now with, you know, then transitioned and found my transition period, became a cop. Now I'm a cop and found my purpose, so to speak, and still continuing down that line of purpose. And anytime I see, you know, cops that struggle or veterans that are struggling, it's because to me, I find that they either lost their sense of purpose. Or, well, mostly I think mostly it's because they lost their sense of purpose, right? Whenever you hear about cops that have gone into that dark place, right? It's mostly, I find it when you dig deep into it, I find it that it's because that loss of purpose, right? Yeah, you're still a cop, you're still in the job, but you become jaded, you become whatever, and you're just wondering, why am I still doing this when no one gives a fuck, especially this day and age of policing where everybody hates the police. Well, they've always hated us, but even more now. But
they're just louder.
Yeah, they're just louder, and the loud minority is drowning out the majority, like always, especially with social media these days. And the thing is, though, that, like, if people really listen to the noise, they can hear and see how stupid it is, right? Ernest Hemingway said once, when people talk, listen completely. Don't be thinking what you're going to say. Most people never listen. And that's what I find, that if you actually just stop and not even respond and just really listen, you come out of it with so much more information, because instead of already formulating your answer because you're heated and you want to argue and you want to do this, you want to do that, really listen, digest what they're saying, and then give them that response back. That's why me with statistics, science, like me and you, Jake, you know, whenever we get any sort of debate going with anyone else, yeah, we have statistics backing and all that stuff, and emotion doesn't get into it, and we just continue it, you know, we continue that conversation, and that's the thing, is finding that purpose could be just as simple as that, is stop for a second and listen to that voice inside you, like really pay attention and know and see what's going on.
Well, I think if people took that approach, they would be more proactive in bridging the gap that coincidentally you address the next section of your article here, the warrior and the civilian, because we've got these two fundamentally, you could almost say opposed cultural identities cohabitating together. So the warrior and the civilian. Warriors often find themselves in a complex dynamic with the civilian population. This dichotomy arises from the fundamental differences in values and perspectives that exist between the two groups. While civilians tend to prioritize individualism and personal freedom, warriors are deeply rooted in the concept of community. The civilian mindset is often shaped by a society that places great emphasis on personal achievement and self-interest. Individualism is celebrated, and the pursuit of personal happiness and success takes precedence. This mindset encourages independence, self-reliance, and the freedom to make choices that align with one's own desires and aspirations. On the other hand, warriors are molded by a different set of values. They understand that their actions have far-reaching consequences affecting not only their own lives, but also the lives of those around them. They've had to live with every decision that they had to make, like a stone that hits the water. That decision had ripple effects that last beyond their time. If you had to lead troops into battle, conduct a high-risk warrant of a dangerous murder suspect, or had to coordinate various firefighters combating a large building fire, those decisions during those active, complex scenes are intense. I think of the times when I was planning various operations and coordinating assets. In the back of my mind, I knew that if I made one wrong decision, lives could possibly be lost, whether it was my guys or the target we are after. It did not freeze me during executing the mission, but it is a thought that hits me every time. It's the nightmare every leader has. A close friend who is a civilian once told me how stressed they were because of working long hours. I played out the scenario I just described above. My friend then said, "Oh yeah, that's definitely more stressful than me working a couple extra hours." My friend learned about perspective. I also told him of a quote from Seneca: "We suffer more in imagination than in reality." Before we go to the final section here,
yep.
The reason I like that so much, and I think it's not coincidental, you know, and we have presence there also, and understanding on the civilian side, you outlined perfectly everything that is Instagram. It starts with I. It's mm-hmm. all about I and me, mm-hmm. right? Where, and popularity wise, what's on there that's popular that's we? Very little. Mm-hmm. It's all about I. But the irony of that is, not that irony starts with an I, but that is ironic. Mm-hmm. The irony of it starting with an I and being all about I and me is that those are all people seeking community like themselves.
Yep.
So while they're projecting all this shit that you just so aptly hit the nail on the head about, you know, my self-importance, my success, this, that, and the other, what they're really doing is screaming out for community. They are painfully missing out on that. They know it deep down. They want to be part of something else or have other people part of them. Either way, whether they're on the leading edge of that and they want
followers or they're looking to follow, it's still the same circle. They're looking for tribe. They're looking for community.
Yep. And that's the thing, like fucking influencers are going to be they're going to be the Armageddon of the world. Because if you think, you know, when I think influencer, all I see is narcissism, right? And just me, and I'm going to ruin your life because you said X, you know, whatever, you know, and that's the whole I mentality that has shaped, unfortunately, the newer generation. You know, for a long time, I call it the Britney Spears era, right? The NSYNC era.
That is dating you right there. That makes you sound fucking old. Dude.
I am old. One of my sisters, still to this day, I still bug her because she. I told her you grew up in the Britney Spears diva age, and she's like, "Oh yeah, I did. I'm a Britney Spears, you know, whatever." But I'm like, "All right, well, don't start twirling knives on fucking Facebook Live or some shit, all right? Then I'll really have I'll have some real concerns." But that's the thing, though. Like again. Like, what is stress, right? I ask people, I'm like, what are you stressed about? What is stress? And just like that kid I told, you know, I described here, telling me, you know, stressful work in a couple extra hours. I sat him down. I'm like, listen, dude, let me tell you one of my days. And I gave him the entire, it was an old op, but the entire time of me, 2 weeks, 3 weeks of getting the intel, getting the target package, talking to people, getting the floor plans, putting the plan together with my fellow team leaders, you know, all our decision-making A through Z, right? What if this happens and that, you know, if the breach fails, all right, where's the alternate breach point? Okay, it's going to be over there. So then we got to take half the team, go to the alternate breach point, blah, 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 blah. All those things that go into our everyday decision, you know, for us, people in our world. One mistake, one miscount of the seconds of the minute to be time on target could be life or death. I go talk, you know, I'm remembering, you know, Sergeant Allers, you know, Sergeant First Class Allers, who was killed by an IED. You know, I was right there. And that decision we made with the fork on the road where we were supposed to go left and his squad was supposed to go right, and then we switched last second. No, we'll take left. You guys take right. Roger that. Did that, and boom, he gets hit with the, you know, the fucking 3 155 rounds, you know, that was buried deep in the earth, and that killed him. And it's like, yeah, there's a fucking decision that was made that costed somebody's life, costed somebody to not have a father when we returned his body home, you know, a widow. You know, a dad that lost a son, you know, and it's like, you know, it really puts into perspective what stress really is.
It does. And I also don't fault the civilian kid that has no concept of that, because they are products of their environment. Whether they chose that environment or not, they might not know that they don't know any better, right? Yeah. And if they can just bring themselves to that level of awareness to understand, one, they don't know everything. Two, they don't have a, you know, yes, their perceived level of stress compared to that, radically different. Yeah. But for them and their ecosystem, it is their level 8 or their level 9 or whatever, you know, scale we're going to talk about. Whether it's 1, 2, 3, it doesn't matter. That is for them, their top level.
Yep.
And I think if we can get away from the comparators and get that kid on the same page of like, hey man, this is what my level 10 looks like. So right now your 10 is like a 2 for me.
Yeah.
That's why it's going to be harder for me to communicate with you unless you can kind of see where I'm coming from, that this isn't life or death. Right.
Yeah.
And take it to the civilian, you know, whatever, the exact same kind of scenario, left fork, right fork, you know, plan for 3 weeks, one variable goes sideways, the whole thing collapses. Okay. Yeah. I know plenty of people, and you do too, that are in sales and marketing. If they don't hit their fucking quarterlies, they're fucked.
Yeah.
They're out of a job. They got no paycheck, right? Yeah. If they don't hit their fucking numbers, they're done. They're getting laid off.
Yeah.
And that's a fucking huge stressor for them, right? Their level 10 and my level 10 are not the same things, but what we do have is the ability to have a shared experience of that feeling where I can walk into that scenario and be like, man, okay, fine, fix it. You know, here's the variable, fix this, or not, because I don't know what the fuck they're doing, because I know shit about marketing. But the point is that shared experience of having that perceived feeling, that's something we can find a common ground on. And yes. You close the article perfectly with that, because what you're challenging people to do in a positive way, not in a negative way, but you're challenging people to sit with warriors, and the conversation will indeed be different. It will be filled with laughter, born out of the darkest corners of existence. It will be guided by honor, rooted in a deep sense of morality and integrity. And it will remind you of the incredible strength of the human spirit, inspiring you to embrace your inner warrior and face life's challenges head on.
Yep.
Period. End of article.
Yep.
That is so important, because if we can get both sides of that, the warrior and the civilian, to sit down with each other and come to that conclusion, that your inner warrior, whatever your challenges are going to be benefited by your effort, your integrity, embracing all of those things that we do on the service side,
mm-hmm.
embrace it on your side of the table. And then we're going to be able to come together, and we're going to have a more harmonious balance. There won't be this dichotomy of life between the warrior class and the aristocrats, right? I mean, kind of the classic, you know, the royalty and then the fucking ditch diggers. Which I'd choose ditch digger, but it's it's, if we can get everybody to kind of start thinking, hey, we're not really all that different, we're just choosing different paths to the same resolution of togetherness.
Yep.
We're gonna be good to go.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, like, the way I think of it is, you know, whatever issues you might be going through, right? There's a reason why you're going through it, right? There's a reason why most times we're going through, we'll call it suffering, going through stress, whatever it is, right? But to me, if you choose to remain unchanged, like, if you're not going to change or you're not going to face it head on, you're going to be presented with that same exact stress all the time, the same storms, the same situations. But if you choose to evolve, if you choose to face it head on, you will connect with some strength within you that you never thought you had. And you will be more likely to explore what lies outside of your own comfort zone. And you'll basically wake up and realize that you are capable of so much more than you thought. And that's the thing. To me, you got to choose to evolve. You got to choose to make a change, right? I mean, I'm sure, Jake, you hear it all the time at the gym where somebody might be complaining of, oh, I haven't gained enough muscle, or I haven't done this, or I haven't done that. Well, what have you done to change that? Well, I'm still doing the same routine. Well, there you go, fucker. You're doing the same fucking thing.
Or you're not dedicating yourself to one path, yep. right? And you're and this would be the kind of influencer culture. I'm jumping at the next shiny object because I want to take the easy way out.
Yeah.
As opposed to the reality, which is, if you just pick the one direction and stay with that discipline, that structure, you will get results. Maybe there's a more efficient way to do it than that, but you will still have results. You might get to level 6 down that one, and another one might take you to level 8, but you're still going to have progress, right?
Yeah.
And that's where I think it gets lost, is part of it takes patience, right?
Oh,
and
yeah.
Even sitting, and part of this article too, and I caution people a little bit, if you know, if you're going to run out and find the nearest G-Watt vet to sit down and have a beer with, it might be a little bit slow roll to start, because they're not always the most sociable to people. They're not
That's
super
why
comfortable
when
with.
I'm, yeah, if you see me at a bar, I may look like I'm going to kill everybody there, but, you know, it's fine. You can come up to me, but I'm not going to right off the bat think that we're going to be buddy buddies. So,
and it might also just not be that your day.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
That doesn't mean give up. That doesn't mean give up.
Yeah.
But the point of that is that you got to try, right? Yep. You got to try and be consistent and be patient with it and be willing to learn. Like, I still am a perfect example in my own life that I have to do this, and it's discipline. It's not choice. I have to be disciplined about still listening to my dad, because he drives me fucking nuts. I mean, he drives me up a wall, but I know that there's knowledge there. Right. Mm-hmm. And I take the emotional side out of it, just being irritated as shit. I'm 40 fucking 3 and it still irritates the shit out of me, but I am disciplined enough to know I need to at least listen. He's going to say some dumb shit and I know it's coming. So this time, maybe I just don't file it away and keep it, but every once in a while,
yeah, exactly. Every
there's
once
something
in, a while.
In there. Right.
Yeah.
And that's the thing with, like, especially with, if people are listening to this that are on the civilian side, maybe you're even married to a veteran or somebody who's active duty or in law enforcement, you just don't know how to talk to your partner. You got to be patient. you got to understand that our language is different. Like if I tried to go home with you to, you know, the OG home in Lebanon, I wouldn't know what the fuck anybody was saying because I don't speak Lebanese. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to be patient. I'm going to have to learn certain words, like when people are talking shit about me and where's the bathroom and what, you know, mm-hmm. how much is dinner and all those kinds of things. You got to be patient. And with veteran culture, law enforcement culture, firefighter culture, there's a different language there. And there's a bit of a barrier with civilians who've never been exposed to it. And you got to be willing to be patient on your part. And then on the flip side, for all of our law enforcement, military, and veterans listening to this and firefighters, y'all got to be fucking patient too with civilians because they don't know any different. Would you kick a fucking puppy for not knowing how to not go potty in the house, right? You're not going to kick your dog at 10 weeks old because he pissed in the house, right? Yeah. They don't know any fucking better. Treat civilians like puppies until they mature, right? Just give them some fucking time, give them some grace, give them a little bit of patience. If they're being a fucking asshole, that's different. But yep. if somebody's actually willing to learn, even if they maybe don't bring it the right way the first time, but it's obvious that they want to know more, fucking give them the time, because yep. unless you share that knowledge, it's going to fucking disappear and it'll have to be relearned again down the road. And that's, I mean, it's one of our favorite sayings, you know, hard times create hard men create easy times create soft men create hard times, right? Yep. It's the cycle. And and where we're at in that cycle right now is kind of debatable.
Yeah.
But what helps break that cycle or spin us through it faster to get through that OODA loop, you got to be willing to communicate. And you got to be willing to be a little bit patient. And you got to try. You got to fucking try. Yep. And if you don't try, I got no time for you. Like, if you're not going to put the effort in, I don't give a shit what side of the equation, even if you agree with me, but you're not going to try to bridge the gap and listen to the other side and try to at least just understand them. You don't have to agree with them.
Yep.
I got no time for that. So, I mean, I don't know, coming off of last week and this article really was, I just felt it was the perfect time for me, again, selfishly, because this is exactly what we were doing with the soldiers and what is happening every day on every base and every law enforcement department across the, you know, across the country, across the globe, is you've got a different class of people learning how to work with each other, not just for one, but you've got a different class of people that we need to help learn how to communicate, you know, across types. And it was such good timing. I mean, it was just like, I thought it was a great idea because we didn't talk about it beforehand. I was like, dude, that's fucking perfect. Cause that's like the capstone to, you know, the last week I just spent. And of course you were at, you know, every time we're at training and stuff, it's the same kind of thing. It's like, it's just good to address it every once in a while and remind everybody, hey, you know, these are some things that, you know, and not that we're right. I shouldn't say you wrote the article, but, it's not that we're thinking we're right or you're thinking you're right. It's just another perspective.
Oh,
and
yeah.
maybe you take a couple things out of it and apply it tonight in the field when you've got somebody putting a finger in your chest, telling you to go fuck yourself, pig. Hey man, what's that guy's background? I mean, I don't give a, you know, if his background is domestic violence, fuck him, put him in cuffs and dump him in the car. But to the point of like, before taking and escalating, because you get mad.
Yeah.
Just think for a hot second. How did that guy get here?
Yeah.
And then remind yourself, you're getting paid by the hour. So if it takes forever, take the fucking overtime and don't escalate.
and my favorite thing is, you know, when I lock someone up or whatever, and they're like, hey man, what the fuck? Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I don't know why you're so mad. I'm going home. So you can stay in the jail cell for being an idiot. I'm going home. My day's done. So
yeah.
They chose violence, sir.
Yeah, they chose stupid, you know, and that's okay too. If they chose stupid, just make sure you're just 1% smarter.
Exactly. So I guess for me, I know you like to ask the other guests the one thing.
I do.
I know you were going to come to me to ask.
All right, I was.
One thing. I say my one word is evolve. Evolve. Do not get stagnant. Do not, you know, get into this rut of just, you know, slugging away, whether you're a cop, firefighter, soldier, evolve, man. You know, the potential within us as warriors is nearly limitless. You know, it's amazing. I mean, some of the guys in our circle, right? Gabe, Chuck, Kyle, various other warriors, that they're almost like limitless, right? The potential that they've been able to unlock within themselves is incredible. And like you said, Jake, it's not an overnight process. When you evolve, when you start to accept the fact that you need to evolve, it's going to take years. It's going to be messy. You're going to fail. But what's the idea of evolving is you just keep going. Doesn't matter.
Yep. And just keep getting better.
Yep.
Perfect. I mean, you stole my question, but you answered it perfectly. So thank you. I appreciate that. That is my favorite thing. Big, big thanks to all of our supporters for making this podcast and this season possible. Our good friends at AAA Police Supply, head over to AAAPoliceSupply.com for all your duty gear needs and use that code HYBRID10 for 10% off every time you make an order. Big thanks to Havoc Journal, the voice of the veteran community, focusing on the current affairs over there that is independent driven. There's no angle. It's independent news at HavocJournal.com and our friends there at the Profiles in Havoc podcast as well. Big thanks to Second Mission Foundation for educating, elevating, and advocating for our service community. Find out more about what they're doing to help our veterans at SecondMissionFoundation.org. Big thanks to 22 Mohawks as well, combating veteran suicide by providing the assistance the veterans need. If you want to learn more about what you can do to help and all of the different initiatives they've got all across the country, check them out at 22mohawks.com. Big thanks to Viking Tactics, the best tactical gear anywhere from battle belts and slings to everything in between. Kyle's company's got it all. Check them out at vikingtactics.com. And of course, I want to thank our friends at the Overwatch Project. Head over to overwatchproject.org. for more information on how to form workable plans of action to help us help each other combat the suicide epidemic and how to just fucking ask. Iman, man, this was fun. It's a little bit different pace. I'm sure people were expecting something like whiz bang, super high speed. And I like throwing a curveball every once in a while. This was awesome.
Well, this season being that it's about mindset and resilience, right? And it's been a while since I've done one of my Havoc Journal articles. I know we used to do it a lot, so we'll start picking that up as well, because people always really appreciate those kind of offshoots, I guess we'll call them, episodes where we'll bring in my friends Charlie and Havoc Journal in, and we'll talk about the article and give people a little more in-depth view as to why I wrote something. That's one thing that people have realized over the years, that, you know, when I write something, there's a reason behind it, and usually there's a deeper message within my writing.
And that is why you are who you are, and we love you, and are our favorite Lebanese kafel.
Well, that's a wrap, ski people. We got something coming up in May. Go on the website, all right?
Yep.
It's a big, big, big training event at SIG Academy. We'll put it in the show notes. Be there.
We're going to talk more about what SIG did last week for the next episode. I'm super excited about that one because it's total just geek fest, and hoping to get Jordan on for that one. But yeah, big things coming with SIG Sour with us, but also just what SIG is doing. If you aren't a SIG believer right now, you haven't been paying attention. They are absolutely crushing it. So I'm looking forward to that. And we'll, definitely check out the website and check out that training, and then stay tuned for next week. We're going to hopefully pin Jordan down for an episode, man. That guy, dude, talk about a story. It's going to be something fantastic. But in the meantime, everybody else is out there working and running around tonight. Stay safe.
Stay sapient.